Kayak Fishing Radio, the Double L version, on Tuesday night. I don't know where everybody's at in the chat room. I sure hope everybody's not having difficulty logging in. And we got a lot of people listening in on their iPhone or Google apps. I just dropped somebody.
That
anyway.
Would have been me.
Oh. Why are you leaving?
No, I didn't leave. I just refreshed the chat to see. Wow.
I don't know what's going on. I hope everybody's not having trouble. But anyway, the show will go on and we'll keep it going. We're still waiting on our guests to call in, who I just checked on Rich and Woody, and they were just getting off the water about 45 minutes ago. Must be nice, seeing that the water is coming down here. It has been raining all day. That storm that started down in the Gulf and worked its way up the East Coast has finally made it to Virginia. And we'll be able to kayak in the backyard this evening, it looks like. It's been raining pretty hard. Anyway, it's Tommy Ed Jigs. Tommy, what's going on? Some people are starting to get in. Maybe they're all piling in at the same time, I guess. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And a message from Vicky now on her phone, so I don't know, everybody's having problems. I'm really sorry, everyone. I have no computer repair person, so I can't fix the problem, but keep trying. I have found that it's easier to go to Blog Talk Radio and then just type in the search box Kayak Fishing Radio and go from there. Kayak Fishing Radio website hasn't been working too well here lately, for me anyway. So, we'll keep on keeping on, see what happens. There's Adam. Adam, welcome. What's going on, buddy? Let's see. Let me just take a second here. Oh, somebody said, yeah, they're just refreshing. So, it must be slow tonight. I'm sorry. I just got a message from Vicky, who was there, and now she's gone. So, she said it's just thinking the whole time.
That's like really super strange. I hope that people can hear us because it would be important. And there's Woody.
Woody there?
Yeah.
Woody, can you guys hear us? Because we barely got a signal down here.
We're deep in the swamp.
Deep in the swamp. Yeah, we got you. Oh, thank you. Very good. So you're deep in the swamp and you just got off the water. How was fishing today? Excuse me.
It was pretty good today. A couple of fish, snook. It was a little windy coming out of the south, so we kind of went down a couple of rivers checking some stuff out. But it's going to be awesome down here, man, I'm telling you. Hope nobody gets lost. I got lost twice today.
Real comforting. Thanks, Woody.
But there was no rocks or anything for you to navigate off of. You couldn't hit a rock and bounce to the right and hit another rock and bounce to the left.
Yeah, I couldn't. To be honest with you, we could have laid our course out by the alligators, but they kept moving too. You look over there and you're like, that's stump. And you're like, not letting stump swim.
They're not on the list, though, are they, for eligible species or alligator on the list?
No.
No. This is crazy down here, man.
Very good. Is Rich there with you, too?
I'm here. I'm on another line here.
Oh, okay. And John there?
Yeah, we go.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, yeah. What's up, John? How's it going? Going well. We're just trying to give everybody the feel that they're already there if they're not there by having the whole gang closely knit now.
Well, the whole gang's here. We've got all kinds of crew down here. And we had a good day out on the water today, and it was a little windy, but looking forward to getting back out there tomorrow.
Very good. Well, we'll ask you that. So what's the weather forecast while you're down there? Obviously, we can all look. How's things looking for the weekend?
It's looking like there's going to be some weather move through tomorrow. And from that point on, it's kind of going to be partly sunny, possibly a shower, a little cooler. The winds are supposed to die down, so not
very good.
You know, good. Not the best in the world, but not the worst in the world. So seems pretty good to me.
If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Exactly.
Before Mark gets all carried away and asking questions, can I ask a question real quick? Maybe Woody Rich can answer that. If anybody chooses to do so, can they enter at the or before the captain's meeting on Sunday?
Yeah, if people want to show up in the morning, they can register that morning, but they have to be registered by 6 a.m.
On Saturday?
On Saturday morning, yep.
Okay.
So we got to get them all signed up. There'll be a few people. A few people have contacted us. There'll be some people coming in. So if you're not on there now, it's all good.
All right, but so then it's not too late, but now the entry fee has went to $150 per team, correct?
The entry fee has increased.
Okay, just so we got anybody tuning in, still sitting on the fence whether they want to go or not. I'm going to put the link up in the chat room right now for anybody. If you don't know what we're talking about, I guess we jumped right into it. We are talking about the first Adventure Fishing World Championships that are going to be held this coming weekend in the Everglades. Looks like an exciting event. Where are we at now on registrations, John? What's your last head count that you know of?
I haven't looked up there, but I think we're at 30 teams. 32 teams, I think. So we're going to have 64 people down here getting after it.
So as long as I get away from 63 alligators, I'm good for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I become the 64th alligator, then I'm in trouble, right?
When are you getting to speak? When's the Double L crew getting down here?
Friday,
all right. Are you going to be able to get out on the water Friday, or are you just coming down?
We're leaving midnight Thursday night. That's a 15-hour drive for us.
Wow.
So, snow's probably going to be the answer. We'll be ready for food, beer, and a shower.
And a captain's team. Well, we got all that for you.
We got food and beer.
Well, that's why we're driving 15 hours, just to have a meal with you guys.
Shoot, yeah, well, we can't wait to get down here. We're excited. It is all shaping up. Had a good meeting with the National Park Service today, and we may have talked about where some checkpoints are going to be. So anybody finds out, it's those guys talking about it.
How are you going to get people to – I'm assuming you're going to have people at these checkpoints.
Oh, yeah.
How are they going to get there?
They're gonna take a boat in the morning.
Before the meeting?
Well, we're taking a motorboat before the. It's really cool is that there's quite a bit of paddle out to the bay. So we'll have motorboats with the checkpoint people. They'll definitely be out of sight before any competitors get very far. So.
Oh. I got it.
Yeah, they'll cruise at, you know, 30 miles an hour out to the checkpoints in the morning, and they'll be all out there by before anybody gets across Chokoloski Bay.
Yeah, we checked out that crossing today, the first crossing, and we had wind in our face. It sucked. Good luck. No, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the strategy people have and once they see the map and hopefully they'll have a little knowledge of the tides.
All right. I'm sorry, guys. We're having trouble with our chat room and people logging in. I'm getting private messages from all over, so... Everybody who's trying, I'm really sorry if you're having problems. I think everybody's trying to log in all at the same time. We had 25-plus people said they were coming tonight, and I think the servers is getting inundated or something. So, anyway.
Called with Pino.
What did you say?
That's called me famous, son.
Uh-huh. You're famous. You are famous, yeah. I won't say compared to what famous, but you are famous.
I know that we don't have a computer, we can't see the chat room, but I know Tom and the boys over in Virginia are getting us hell a little bit. They always do.
Tom's not feeling good, so you won't be hearing much from him.
So I haven't seen you guys since the boondoggle. You guys, I guess you made it back to Virginia and everything's good, right?
Yeah, we didn't hardly unpack because we were turning around and come back down to see you again. We get to hang out with the famous guy two times in a month. See, we're all excited. We only got new tires for the car just for the event.
Awesome. So, does anybody got any questions about the tournament? We can't see the screen.
Like I said, they're still logging in. That's the problem.
I'm
going to
need a tire.
Oh, yeah.
Sir.
Well, real quick, before we get, Rich, you hang in there. We're going to ask you a lot of fishing questions here shortly.
That's okay.
But,
I'm here.
You're chilling. Crack another beer open. Relax.
I just did.
We'll talk to
Thanks.
You. John, I want you, just in case there's somebody who's listening on a podcast or is in the chat room, Woody, you too, just give us a real quick rundown, the basics of what exactly the Adventure Fishing World Championship tournament consists of. Because I know there's still some people out there or maybe haven't heard our previous show where we had you guys on and they've been living under a rock or something for the last 3-4 months. But just give us a rundown on what this event consists of.
Okay, well, I'll just describe the day for the competitors. They're going to go to the captain's meeting in the morning, and then about 6:45, we're going to hand them out an envelope. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to tell everybody to open the envelope, and they're going to get a map. And on that map, there are going to be 5 checkpoints. It's up to them to pick their route and go to those checkpoints and catch photo release of fish from those checkpoints. And then the team with the most total fish length wins. So everybody's gonna open their map and they're gonna figure out how many checkpoints they can get to and which ones they think they can realistically catch a fish at and go try and catch a fish and photo it and make it back before 5 p.m.
All right, Rich, that's where you come in and the phone call I'm going to make to you after the show. Okay, Rich, that's where you hang tight.
Okay.
Just joking. All right, so but with those 5 checkpoints, how many of the checkpoints do you have to actually catch fish at? Isn't there 3 out of the 5?
Yeah, now, you cannot get a score. You won't get a total for your fish length if you don't get 3 checkpoints. And a caveat, and also, There is a 5th checkpoint that if you catch a fish from that 5th checkpoint, it's double the length. So there will be a checkpoint there where if you catch a fish with it's double the length. Now, if you only catch that checkpoint and one other, that means you only got 2 checkpoints. Your score doesn't count. But if you do catch the 5th checkpoint and 2 others, you double one checkpoint.
All right, so whether you answer this question or not, that's fine. But so we as a team have caught fish at 2 of the checkpoints, and now we're turning in our fish for the 3rd checkpoint, and let's say checkpoint is that caveat checkpoint. Will the scorer let you know that, or you not know it until everything's done at the end of the day, which checkpoint was the increase?
You'll know it in the morning when you open your map.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. I just
Somebody ask how far apart are the checkpoints?
That's going to be interesting to find out in the morning at 6:40 at 7 a.m.
It's in the envelope.
It's in the envelope. Now they're on the website. You can't see a map, and they will be within the boundaries on that website. They will not be outside of the boundaries.
You have, like, these envelopes in a briefcase handcuffed to Woody's legs or something so nobody can... Is it like the Oscars or something?
Yeah, it's a total, hospital like that. It was kind of scary showing the National Park Rangers today.
He won't even show me where the checkpoints are. He knows I have a big mouth.
He won't show me either.
Woody will talk for PBR, so we know how to get to Woody. I don't know about the rest of them.
and I know that too.
So, dangle a bottle of PBR from your head.
Exactly. Everybody on the Health Pack Fishing Radio Network would know where the checkpoints are.
He'd be too drunk to talk by then. Very cool. All right, is there anything else, details about the actual tournament from your side, John, that you'd like to pass along? Has there been questions or anything coming up on the website that are maybe need clarification that you've seen? Anybody? I know in the beginning there was a lot, but it seems like it's all worked its way out. People are getting the gist of the tournament now.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that complicated. It's going to be a lot of strategy. You got to have some strategy in there, and you got to make sure you have some strategy in there, because if you don't, you could end up paddling too many miles. So you got to really play the course. I think everybody will who comes to the captain's meeting on Friday night and talks it over, they'll be clear as day. So.
Well, one thing I'm really excited about, and I like to see, and I like to see more kayak tournaments like this one, is the fact alone that it's an artificial one.
Who are in the tournament, or if you have some friends who are going to be following you, we tested out the system today, and we're going to be doing live broadcast throughout the event. So throughout the day, there will be, every 20, 30 minutes an update as to who's winning, who's where, and kind of how the tournament's unfolding. So that's pretty interesting. I don't think that's ever been done before.
Here is a good question. So it's a maximum of 5 fish that you can check. Is that correct?
You can only catch one. You can only check one fish per checkpoint. Yeah.
So if you hit all 5 checkpoints, that's 5 fish.
Yep, you got it. Yeah, if you catch a fish at all 5 checkpoints, and that's 5 fish that are 20 inches long adds up to more than 3 fish at 20 inches long. So.
And you get the super checkpoint, and you're doubling one of them.
Yeah, you catch a 35-inch hook there, you got 70 inches worth of fish and one cast.
Very cool. So with that update and all on the weekend that you were just talking about, we can almost be as famous as you guys. Have the potential anyway.
Yeah, today we updated actually from our kayaks onto the Facebook page. I don't know if anybody saw it. Like I say, I haven't been, on the internet, but we have the system, to push it through. So we saw
Woody out there on the water.
Here's another question, because I also saw that on the website, and it's a little bit confusing. Somebody asked this in the chat room, does each team need their own map, or are you providing a map?
We are providing a map, but now you can bring your own navigational chart, your own electronics, other ways of route finding. You can add to that any way that you want, but there will be a map provided, one map per team at 6:45 in the morning.
All right. Anybody else has any questions, or if anybody would like to call in to ask a question, if you're listening on the podcast, obviously you can't.
And I just checked that the app is working right now. The live stream on the app is working.
So you can call in 714-816-4727. We have Woody Calloway and John Grace with Native, and we also have Rich Jones on the phone. So we'll be able to. But you'll be able to answer any question we have for you.
One more. The measuring device, are you going to be issuing the measuring device or just the tape?
Yeah, we're going to be issuing a measuring device for every team. Now, there's only going to be one, and this is something we've had some questions about. is there's only going to be one token passed out at the checkpoints, and there's only going to be one measuring device. So it's real important to work this tournament and work when you're fishing as a team, because if you're further apart, you're just going to end up wasting time when a fish is caught or when you have to turn your take a picture because the token has to be in with the photograph. So, you know, I think teams really need to start thinking about how, you know, they're going to work a shoreline or work a cove or work a point, you know, as a team.
So Pepe is asking, so no measuring board is needed?
Nope, you don't need a measuring board.
All right, I'm going to ask a question here. And so with the measuring, whatever it is you're providing us with, is it just like a flat ruler? And the reason I ask is because a lot of us use the hog trough board, which basically has a right angle on it, so you can push the fish's nose up to the right angle and start at zero there so we could lay said bait that you're giving us.
Is it, yeah, it's going to be very similar to that. So it'll be, you know, there'll be an end to put the nose of the fish on.
Because otherwise, because in the past we have fish tournaments where they just give you a flat tape, so to have that hog trough so you can lay it still on top of the hog trough. So that's fine. That answers that question. I think that's kind of what Pepe was probably alluding to, too, is the flat tapes aren't that easy when you got a kicking, pushing around fish in the middle of a tournament. So to have something to push his nose up to definitely helps. Very good. All right,
yeah,
any other?
It's a more accurate way to do it.
Yeah, definitely have something to start at zero with like that instead of laying the tape down and trying to get it. Helps it hold still, too.
I know this is one of our Floridian friends. I'm not sure. Mark, can you see the studio? Do you recognize that number?
Oh, I will. Hold on 1 second.
That's Chuck. I'm going to put him live.
Put him on.
Chuck's going live.
Chuck, are you with us?
I am with you.
Okay.
Chuck in the house.
Question?
What's up, Chuck? Do I have any questions? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I did. Chuck,
yeah.
No questions.
No questions. I'm prepared to go down there and just have a darn good time.
We've got Woody, Rich, and John on the line with us.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody's going to have. I think everyone, they get back to the finish line of this, regardless of how the day went as far as catching fish or where they made it. There's going to be some good stories and a good time. So, I, to be honest, that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, if
you
haven't signed up
for that tournament yet, you really should try to make it, definitely, for a good time.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah. You can't get a bunch of us together and not have a good time, I don't think. I don't know.
Just in case you want to pass it on, we were just told that you can still enter this event up until the captain's meeting at 6 a.m. on Saturday.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yep. You certainly can. Come on down. And, you know, it's a great place to come down regardless. I mean, here at Glazehaven, there's a great restaurant here. There's a super place to launch. They have two bars here. You're right across the street from the National Park Center. You're pretty much at the end of the road. You got a sunset view every night. It is pretty hard to be here. You got to just watch. There's a lot of alligators. But other than that, it's awesome.
Daddy's getting a new pair of boots this weekend.
You are?
Alligator.
Oh, that's not funny.
It's really not funny.
It's not funny.
For alligators today,
somebody's asking about how far is their camping from there. Do any of you know where the nearest
camp is? There's a campsite down in Chokoleski at a place called Chokoleski Island Park, where they had one boondoggle. And that's about the nearest camping. And it's about 15 minutes or so from the where the tournament is going to be held. So, but I would definitely call Chokoleski Island Park. I don't have the number, but they book up pretty quick. So I would definitely call them immediately if you're thinking of camping.
Okay.
And that's about the nearest
place. Chokoloskee Island Park. Is that right, Rich?
Chokoloskee Island Park. Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
That place is
there
awesome,
you go.
By the way. Where we did our last February boondoggle, it was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, Rich. Well, there you are. You're talking now. So now let's have some fishing questions. Let's see. Where do we start? What would the average angler for people like ourselves who are traveling never fished in the Everglades? What's the basic setup, rod and reel kind of thing to make sure we're walking out the door with the right stuff in our hands? What size reels, rods? Give us kind of a
breakdown.
All right. Well,
if you're spin fishing, you know, just use like a medium weight. Medium light is fine. I use 15-pound Power Pro, you know, as a standard. But anything, you know, like that.
Leader?
Doesn't necessarily have to be fluorocarbon, but I would use at least 30 pounds. Some people use 20, but being that there's a lot of oysters and on the mangrove roots, there's barnacles and stuff like that, let alone the fish that can cut you off. You know, there's a lot of abrasive things out there, so I would definitely use at least a 30-pound leader. And that's it for pretty much spinning gear.
What's the water conditions like right now? Is it a clear, tannin stain, blue-green? What's the water color?
The water color is actually today it was kind of muddied up because we had some south winds. But typically, you know, in winter it clears up. But right now it's pretty stained from the weather we've had. So that's why I'm saying you don't really need the fluorocarbon. I mean, if it is crystal clear out there, which would happen after usually a cold front comes through and the water temperature drops, it'll clear it up. But yeah, I'm sure by this weekend it's not going to clear up. So, you don't really need the fluorocarbon. But your personal preference.
I'm going to ask this question because it comes up in the chat room, although I was messing with them, if they would like you to rig their jigs too. They would like to know colors. What colors are hitting now?
Very impatient. I was just getting through the rod and reel. Gosh, you got to get the rods and reels before you can tie something up.
Peppy already said he'll get
I saw them.
Around.
I saw them. Now, remember, they're going to be all the tackle shops in Florida are going to be getting pounded on. So whoever you really want to have the highest sales in lures, Rich, now's your chance to plug whatever
okay.
you like. Even if it doesn't work, just go ahead.
Personally, for jig heads, I use Mission Fishing. You know, it's just I've been using them for years, and that's just what I use. You know, they don't sponsor me or anything, but you know, they had a good strong hook, and you can get them in most places in tackle shops in Florida. You know, but as far as colors, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe I use white, light and dark colors all the time. That's the way I always say it. But white or red, you know, is usually what I use. And I think it's working. You know, the color of the soft plastics I think has more to do with it. You know, that I use with them. But
I was throwing road cone orange tonight this afternoon, and they were hitting it. Orange.
Road cone orange.
That's what
that
the color.
What jig head was that on, Woody?
The one that was tied on the end.
What kind of weights are we talking about the jig heads, Rich?
What type of what? Could you repeat
weight,
that?
What weights on the jig head? 16, 8, no more?
If you're in a shallow area, a little cove or bay or something, out of the wind, I would go light, you know, like a 16-ounce to 8-ounce. If you're in some deeper water, go right, you know, definitely go up to a 1/4-ounce. I rarely ever use anything heavier than a 1/4-ounce, so. And my standard is 8-ounce, so. But okay. Like I said, 15 sounds if it's super shallow, if you're sight fishing and you're getting on a red, you see some reds or something, and you don't want to spook them, go with the lighter stuff, you know. And if you're in deeper water, obviously you're going to be into some current, go with at least a quarter ounce to get your jig head down to the bottom, you know. So that's it. I don't use anything heavier than that.
Very good. So we're on to, so we'll stick with the jig head plastic thing. So in soft baits, what do you prefer? Paddle tails, jerk baits? What are you using on your jig?
I use everything, but mostly paddle tails. Paddle tails. No specific brand. I do use a lot of DOA cowls. Various colors. I like the Arkansas, I think it's called Arkansas Glow. Kind of neat, nice color, but I've used a root beer color, you know. I just vary it, you know. My tackle box is full of all colors, and I'll just go, you know, I have my go-to stuff, which it definitely is that Arkansas Glow color, which is kind of like it's white and like a greenish brown, I guess, on one half of it. But
pretty close to a natural looking bait fish and a mullet.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's small enough where it's, you know, the bait is small right now, so you want to mimic that, you know. And I mean, I see people out there with you know, the big jerk baits, and it just doesn't produce, I don't think, in the winter time as much. You know, summertime is different, but I would definitely stay with the 3-inch, you know, maybe go up to 4-inch size stuff, you know. Whatever brand it is, you know, whatever your go-to or preference is, you know.
So from there, what about hard baits then? So we got the soft plastics, kind of natural looking, quarter,
yeah.
No more than quarter ounce in the deeper channel, 16th and 8th, most other places.
Yeah.
Do you use a lot of hard baits?
I don't use a lot of hard baits, except I do use, I love my top waters, you know. I'll fish the oyster bars in the morning, which is something you want to concentrate on, and definitely, you're going to definitely see some oyster bars, that tide's going out that day, and you're going to want to concentrate in that current going around those oyster bars. And what'll happen is the fish will, some fish will be feeding around those oyster bars. And, you know, and being that it's so shallow, you know, if you're on a topwater plug, you're not going to get snagged as much on those bars, you know. So throwing a Zara spook, a skitter walk, you know, and not the big, not the huge ones. I use like the medium size Zara spook junior and the regular size skitter walk. That's something that's, you know, 3-inch range, something like that. And, I mean, it's good for trout, snook, and reds, you know. So
great right there. Right.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And as far as colors, you know, whatever you choose, you know, I don't think it's going to matter. So as far as
you keep saying oyster bars, what else is the makeup of the bottom? Or is it a muddy, sandy,
if you get out to the outside, out into the Gulf areas, there's islands, or, you know, small islands out there, all, you know, have some sandy beaches. And but the majority of the water or the terrain is going to be mud and oyster bars. Okay. There's no grass. And also, you know, obviously the mangrove islands, you know, with the mangroves. So, and well, that's pretty much it. There's no grass out there, so for the most part, you know.
How lethal are those mangroves when it's full tide? Is that a great? I mean, obviously everybody's competing in a tournament, but there's plenty of mangroves out there, I know. So,
yeah.
is that always a good little peak of spot around those mangroves at high tide?
Oh yeah, definitely. Off fish your points, around your points, you know, off the ends of islands, the water current coming around, you know, the water current coming around the islands. you know, whether it's in right in the current or off the current, you know, just past the current or before it, you know. It's what everybody's going to be overwhelmed if they haven't fished here before. It all looks fishy. So if you just concentrate in those points, you know, don't go into some dead cove, you know, where the water's not moving. And it's not that there's not going to be fish there, but there's a better chance of fish being on your points and around those areas, you know, deep cuts coming around those, you know, around those islands. Like I said, it's overwhelming for most, you know, I take a lot of people out and they're like, oh my God, this is freaking awesome. They're, you know, they think they're going to catch a ton of fish. And it's, we were discussing it today and it's like hunting, you know, and, I mean, when I take a client out, it's more like I can't guarantee fish in one spot. You know, I have like 10 different spots I might hit in one day, and I'll hit fish. You know, it, you know, there'll be one or two spots where we will find the fish. You know, so even though it's all of same areas produced at one time or another, so but it's going to be exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah, we're pretty excited too. I know everybody that said they're coming seems to be pretty excited and amped for it. Chuck's on the line there. Chuck and I kind of had the same idea. We're coming down there to have a good time fishing the area. That we don't, you know, definitely for Chris and I, you know, that's definitely a spot we've never kayaked in, and fishing around there is going to be really cool. So,
yeah. I think everybody's going to have a really good time.
If we don't,
but it's a little.
Fault. We can say Rich said we would.
What's that?
You said we're going to have a good time. If we don't, it's all your fault. You said.
And no, if you don't have a good time, it's your own fault.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, Peppy,
they got,
no,
John,
fishing the
John has a good plan, and he's, I think it's, you know, I think it's, I really love the whole idea of the concept, you know, and it's, I just can't wait to see what the results are, you know.
Just to clarify, Rich, you are not fishing the tourney, is that correct?
I am not fishing the tournament, no. I'm not going to.
That was a question in the chat room.
Yes, no, I'm not to fish yet. There were some people that were saying it's my backyard, you know, it is my backyard, and thinking I would have an advantage, and and I have to say, you know, you see that in a lot of other tournaments where the locals always win because it's their waters, you know, and I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to, you know, and I don't think I have an advantage, but, you know, but that's okay. You know, I'm going to work with everybody, with John and Woody, and help them with logistics and all that. So it's fine. Yep. So it's cool.
Happy Thursday.
Rich is an AFWC consultant, so he may be. I don't think consultants are allowed to actually be.
That's true.
Hey, he was consulting me today, buddy. I was slaying.
Yeah, that's why we saw tons of pictures, Woody. I'm sure Rich had one hell of a job.
He said he was wearing out his orange cone.
I was the cone orange, and he's like, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm catching fish, son."
He was wearing out the orange cone. DMV worker.
Chip gets a question for Woody. Woody, did you catch puffer fish today?
No puffer today. I was hitting snook, but hey, Kelly, I'm ready to see that. I'm ready to see that boat that he and his son are paddling. He tells me he has a special boat coming.
What?
Chip said he was making. He's got a special boat that he and his son are going to use.
I know the boat. I know what he's talking about. It's a secret.
Now I know. I got it too. That's he'll say in the chat room.
He said he'll be there Friday.
He'll be there on Friday.
Yeah. He and the clone are coming, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hand him to Duke. No.
Oh, tell the car to bring a helicopter. No, really.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. You might not want to film everything.
Just Nick, he'll bring it. He'll bring it.
Awesome. But we're, you know, this area, if you've never been down here, this town is like a super quaint town. It's not the hustle bustle that you kind of associate with Florida, you know, and kind of super laid back, and it's as close to the end of the road of anywhere in the country that I've ever been. I mean, you basically get off the interstate, drive 30 miles, and you come to a dead end, and that's it. It's Everglades from there to the Keys, you know. This place,
no jet noise waking you up, Woody?
What's that?
No jet noise waking you up?
No jet noise waking us up like some chicken beach. John, if we woke up that morning, I was like, that dang Lozier parked us right and told us to park at the end of a runway.
I had a new nickname that weekend.
Yeah.
That was one of the funniest things I ever seen. When you threw that motorhome door open and you looked at me, I thought you were going to jump on me and choke me. That was pretty funny. Just for real quick, everybody, Woody and John came here to Virginia Beach to do some filming, and we parked them at Rudy Inlet at the ramp. Anybody who knows the area, Rudy Inlet is practically a stone's throw from Oceana Naval Station. And I never thought about it. And I said, oh, you're safe to park there. It's all-night parking, whatever, you're good. Chris and I rolled in the morning all happy and chippy, had coffee and donuts for the guys. And I pulled in. I said, wake up. When he threw the door open, he said, F in Lozier, where did you park us? In Beirut? He thought that was a... They pulled in at nighttime. It was dark. They didn't know where they were or anything. He said he was thinking he was going to wake up. I had parked them at the end of Norfolk International Airport or something on the runway, but
well, the first
the Navy boys were flying hard that night.
Hey, the first jet was just like, all right, jet just went by, and then another jet comes by, I'm like, all right, okay, that's jet. And honestly, it got to a point where it's just nonstop off my love. We were cracking up.
Yeah, I stayed at our house. That's why we had you stay at our house the next time. I had to make up for it.
Hey, I just got a secret question for Woody. Somebody would like me to ask Woody about some enormous fish.
Must be that tarpon I hooked up with today.
I've learned to hold a fish really far away from me. Makes them look bigger.
You do the straight arm picture taking?
Oh, I'm a straight armer for sure.
I showed it with two hands or one hand. I'm not touching that one. I'm not touching it. Never mind. Family show.
So, Mark, let me ask you, what are your navigational tools? What do you bring with you?
I got it all. I got a sextant. No, I am bringing my handheld GPS because I'm not going to count on my phone for the signal and stuff. We have a handheld. We do have map. Taking the map, obviously, you guys are giving us and going for it.
Yeah, I think that's a good rig.
Not much else you can do other than that if you don't know the area. And I have, years ago, fished somewhat of that area, but it was out of a powerboat. So
I'll tell you what, Rich had some really good tips. He was filling me on it. You know, basically between the angle of the sun and where the water's moving and the time of day, if you know, everybody knows the tide charts that day. And a big thing with, you know, is paddling off into couple miles and end up in a dead end. You know, and Rich, you can chime in whenever you want here. A good thing, yeah. You know, it may be
Wait a minute. You're giving us life-saving information now, and you're breaking up. He's breaking up,
I'll chime in here. What he was saying, or what I was telling John was, everybody know, if everybody has checked the tides that John posted on the site, and you want to make sure you just study the tides, you always follow the tides. If you get lost, you know the tide's coming in or out, you follow it one way or the other, and you'll find your way back. If you get into an area where there's no movement in the water, turn around and get out of there, because you could. There's some coves out there that go for a couple miles, and it's gonna. You're gonna get in some of these places where it all looks the same, and so if you get into an area where the water is not moving, you want to turn around and get out of there and get into the current and see which way the tide is moving, and you'll find your way out sooner or later, you know. And you know, obviously everybody knows the tide is going out that morning, so up until about noon, I believe. So if you get turned around and you're lost, jump, you know, and you're going to have to, if you're lost, you want to get back, you're going to have to paddle against the tide to get back before that tide changes in the morning, or just follow it in the afternoon, and you'll be fine, you know. I definitely recommend a VA, you know, some kind of GPS or something with you, you know.
Yeah,
but
we're bringing a handheld. I figured
that
phone signals
don't
always work, but as long as that satellite can be found, it'll work on a handheld.
Exactly. Yep.
So, you know, Woody, not that I want to be bad or anything, but I really would like details on that 3-inch fish you caught today.
Hey, it might have been 3 inches long, but it counts.
That's right.
I'll 3 inches to death.
I don't think our measuring board registers 3 inches, so I want to hear about that 3-inch. Did you hook it? Did you snag it?
Hey, at the right checkpoint, it was a 6-inch fish.
Exactly. Hey, they all count down here.
Any fish that eats is a good fish, right?
Mark, wait till I tell you who gave me that indirect intel on that 3-inch fish.
It wasn't me.
Awesome.
It was fake.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour, and I got to go look at my tackle now and see what colors I got to go buy. No, I'm just joking.
Road cone
to go see if the VDOT people have any. Make sure I compare my lures to the road cone color I have in the tackle box. If anybody's got any more questions, anything we can help you with, is there any last thing that you three would like to point out? Anything that we've missed?
I'd like to say that it is like coming down to Wild Kingdom down here. Like, you leave and go out, and you'll see endless species of pelicans, egrets, herons, and you'll run over a manatee, and you'll see a crocodile, and you'll catch a bunch of fish. So it's
a
pretty cool area, and I can't wait.
A crocodile or an alligator?
You know what? There's even, I found out today, crocodiles down here.
Really?
Yeah. So I had no idea that the East River housed some crocodile population. But it's a wild place, and it's a... Everybody's going to go out here and just get out amongst it, and it's going to be an adventure.
Somebody just asked, do you delete the picture before you turn in the chip if you catch a bigger fish?
If you turn in the chip, then you're going to the next site. Unless you have a chip, you can't count a fish. So there's no reason to troll between checkpoints or anything like that. Unless you have a chip... There's not a chip in the picture. That picture really didn't exist.
Right. I think what he's saying, so if I caught a 20-inch trout, the next trout I caught was 22, should I take the 20 off my phone? I mean, excuse me, my camera chip. But my experience is all the fish in you get, because if something doesn't come up good, you look at it on the water when you take the picture, you think it's fine. Then the judge looks at it, and you flipped off half the tail in the camera or something.
So. Yeah. So, So we're going to give you a slip to fill out, which is with each checkpoint you're scoring fish. If you are comfortable using your camera, that will certainly, deleting pictures from your camera, that'll certainly help us. But you don't have to. You just have to note it when you write down on your scorecard, the length of the fish that you want to score. And obviously, we're going to score the longest fish on your card.
Right. Pepe wants to know, in the rules, it says a type 3 PFD. Does it have to be a type 3?
It does not have to be a type 3. I come from a whitewater and river background, and that is the standard, is type 3. And when I went down today to talk to the park rangers, National Park, a standard flotation, like I believe it's type 4 device, will be fine. So that is a that is.
And also, if I could interrupt, a signaling device of some sort, whistle.
You have to have a whistle.
Signaling device, is that a noise-making device? Because the rules calls for both, noise-making device and a flare.
You got it. You have to have a flare, and you also have to have a signal, a whistle, or a horn, or something that is really loud.
That alligator's chasing me. You're going to hear something really loud.
There are so many alligators down here, it's unbelievable.
So wade fishing's out of the question.
Well, I mean, wade fishing's going to be a challenge. There could be some areas where you want to get out and wade fish. But it seems like it's either an oyster bar or a mud bottom. So
yeah.
Neither two are very conducive to your kayak.
Gators like to do stuff on the mud.
Yeah. So
what's he saying back there?
He's basically saying the gators like it when you get stuck in the mud. It makes it easier.
Oh, yeah, it's easier meal. And down on the plate for them. All right, well. What has everybody got? Any more questions? If you got them now, you better ask. There's going to be 60-plus people asking questions if you don't remember.
Just make sure everybody keeps watching the Facebook page, keeps checking in, because we're going to have some tips. We shot a bunch of footage today and video with real-world examples of how to navigate, how to make your way through this jungle. And so keep checking back all week long, and there'll be a bunch coming from the Everglades. So that's the best way to figure out everything that's going on. If you're not coming down in the near future, the best way to figure out what's going on is just watch what we're doing here in the pre-fish, because you'll learn a lot.
Well, with that being said, I was going to make sure, Rich, you run a guide service down in that area, so why don't you give everybody your information real quick, how they can get in touch with you if they're not coming down, because you're not booking any trips on Saturday for any tournaments fishermen. So.
Right.
So, yeah, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, Rich, in the future and come down and fish where we've been talking about all night, how would they find you?
You can find me at kayakfishingtheeverglades.com or kayakfishingtheeverglades at gmail.com. And that's pretty much the easiest way. Most times I don't answer my phone because I'm either out of water or doing something, and I'll just. But if you contact me through those, my website or my email, that's a good way to contact me. That's it.
Yep. And you do fly fishing too, right?
Yes. Actually, most of my trips now are fly fishing. It's just gotten bigger and bigger. So, more and more clients want to fly fish. So, I do spin fishing and fly fishing. Yeah. And all artificials, fishing, pretty much here in the Everglades, some of the backwater areas. I joined forces with Jason Sine recently. We're doing eco tours now, and it's our new adventure, and it's just blossoming. You know, we're just real busy right now, trying to get things together and the tournament, but I have a lot of openings still for the rest of the year. So if you're interested in fishing this area at some point, get a hold of me.
Yeah, I'll put a link to your website up on the chat room and for everybody on podcast and all.
Okay.
It's amazing coming down here as an outsider and just listening to Rich and his knowledge of the area. I mean, you'll be as long as you can possibly be, and he'll be like, oh, right around this corner, I saw and caught three snook. You know, so, I mean, he just knows the area like nobody else.
Thanks. Yeah.
It has to be wild if both Woody and John are completely amazed by this, considering everywhere that Woody and John have been and done, and they're completely in awe in this place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Everglades is hard to be. It's a jungle down here.
Statement earlier in the broadcast about, you know, things may not look the same. The problem down here is, you know, like navigating and stuff. The problem is not things looking different and bigger. Everything looks the same. So you may think you're going, oh, yeah, I'm in two rights. I know where I'm at. And you turn around and you honestly cannot figure out where the hell you came from. Rich is really good. He knows this place like the back of his hand. It certainly seems like it.
Yep. Very cool. So one last question I have for Woody and John, and I know you guys are still working on this, and it's crazy, and you're all packed up. Are you already thinking about the next one?
We want to get this one under our belt, you know, to see how it rolls. I mean, when you guys get down here, when you see the amount of electronics and cameras and stuff that John's got here, there's, what is it, 3 photographers? 4 photographers, there's tons of equipment. We get this one under our belt, definitely. We're even looking at freshwater stuff, you know, at starting points, traveling miles down a river. I mean, we're really excited about the concept of this tournament. I think people will really enjoy it. But we want to get this one under our belt first. John, I got to give all the credit to John. I'm just showing up. John's the one that figured it all out. I kept handing him pieces apart, and he kept figuring it out.
Well, we're looking forward to it. A couple more days now. Oh, we got 2 days even. Not even. So we're hitting the road. So you guys keep the fish penned up for us.
We look forward to seeing everybody. Rich, Fish, Chuck, you guys. And it's going to be awesome. Nathan Raycroft, Philip Rucker. There's some really good fishermen. I mean, we've got some new teams from Louisiana. And so we'll see how they get. If we get any late attendees show up, but looking forward to seeing everybody. Hope everybody has fun.
Hey, Woody, Ty's in the chat room. He was asking, when you fall out of the boat, is no one around? Do you make a splash? Ty up here joking you.
Say that again?
Tyler's in the chat room. He said, if Woody falls out of the boat and no one is around to see it, does he make a splash?
Tyler, I'll tell you straight up, I fall out of a kayak, I make a damn big splash. I wish
big
Tyler
splash.
Was
Yeah, Tyler was just saying he was jealous and he wishes he was coming down. Chris suggested maybe the next event that Don and Tyler will be a team, so that would be awesome to see those two out there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you guys for jumping on the phone so quick after your hard day on the water fishing down in that little paradise you've been telling us all about.
Three-inch fish.
Yeah.
Everybody go out and stock up on your road cone lures. So we really appreciate it. We're looking forward to it. That's going to be a lot of fun.
We'll see you guys
to catch them all up.
All right.
What do you sound like you're talking through a sock?
We'll see y'all.
All right, everybody. Thank you. We'll see you guys in a couple of days. And everybody for tuning in, thank you so much. I hope you got your questions in. Looking forward to this event. That's all I got. I'm going to go check on the backyard and see if the kayaks are floating around with all this rain we've had today. It's a real frog choker out there. So thank you, everyone. We'll see you next Tuesday. We'll do an update on the whole weekend's events. See you Friday, Chip. All right, Chris, hit a button. Hit your, get us out of here.
Do I need to hit a button?
Yeah, hit your little button.
All right, Freddie, I wish I had something witty to say. I'm sorry, I don't tonight. So tight lines, everybody, no matter where you're fishing. And remember, safety, particularly more so for this upcoming weekend and everybody fishing the Everglades. Remember, take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Good night, everybody.
Wow.
What?
I press one button in our career here, and I get Mark.
You pushed it twice. You at least pushed it twice.
It didn't go fast enough the first time.
You want to say anything else? Otherwise, than that, I hit one more button, and we're out of here.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Good night.